Everyone ready? Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of you, those of you online and here in the chambers. Welcome to this Las Animas County Board of County Commissioners for our regular meeting. Today is Tuesday, March the 18th, 2025. It is now 9 a.m. I'm calling this meeting to order. Please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Tony Haas, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Lucero.
Lord, thank you for another day. Bless every moment of today. Guide our words, our thoughts, and actions so that we may reflect your way. Give us the courage to face your challenges and the wisdom to make decisions that honor you. Amen.
Amen. Let the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Commissioners, roll call, Mr. Thornycamp.
Commissioner Haas.
Here.
Commissioner Sarah.
Here.
Commissioner Lucas.
Here. Approval of the agenda. Do you have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Thornycamp?
Two changes, Commissioner. I ask the board to remove item 11A in CRS 24-6-4024B. Strike that entire executive session CRS, and then add CRS 24-6-4024E with doors being the topic.
Thank you, sir. Any discussion on that? I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the agenda with those corrections.
A second.
Commissioner Serra?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you, sir. Consideration of minutes. To a rescheduled regular meeting minutes for March 11, 2025. Commissioners, we have those minutes. Do you have any corrections, any discussion? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
And will we approve the regular meeting minutes of March the 11th, 2025?
Second the motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you, sir. Reading of correspondence, Commissioner Community Reports, Commissioner Lucero, would you like to go first?
Since we had a short week, I didn't have much other than I did attend my first OPI meeting in Mahana yesterday. Wasn't anything real pressing on the agenda at that time, so I got to meet the other board members. So it was, we'll have our next meeting in October, so it's a monthly meeting. So
very good.
We didn't have anything special on the agenda.
Good. So thank you, sir. Commissioner Haas.
Short stretch there. We had one major meeting on March 13th and 14th, the CCI Legislative Steering Committee. We reviewed approximately 40 bills and took positions on 16. And the one that I would like to highlight is one I've been working on personally, Senate Bill 25037. This proposed legislation aims to enhance support for Colorado's coal transition communities by modifying the roles of the Office of Just Transitions and revising the allocation of the local government severance tax fund. So the Office of the Just Transition and DOLA provide grants and funds for those communities transitioning from coal production. And they had listed four or five counties that would be able to participate in this, public county, and was one of them because of the Comanche coal plant shutting down. But I didn't see our name on there. So I got pretty heavily involved in that one. Wanted to know why Los Angeles County and Delta County were left out, because we're suffering from the coal transition, also. And I was told that the reason we were left out was because it was a different kind of coal, because ours was metallurgical, then it wasn't the same. Coal is coal, in my opinion, and I pushed that pretty hard with the legislators. And we did get an amendment to include Los Angeles County and Delta County. So that was, that means that there'll be some funding for us. And that's my report, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. We have, as Commissioner Tony has mentioned, the legislative meeting last Friday, Thursday and Friday. And so right now we have Colorado Counties Incorporated has taken a position on 120 pieces of legislation that would impact counties directly. That I think as a group, we have come together, both parties or any one commissioner elected, and agree that those 120 require our attention. We are just slightly over half of the legislative session, and CCI will continue to monitor a lot of the bills that are coming our way. What we have so far is 501 bills that have been introduced, 302 that are coming from the House, and 199 that are from the Senate. In my opinion, we're at about 500 midterm. I hope it doesn't continue to be the same because we're poised to get about 1,000 bills. And my concern and the concern of CCI is that perhaps they're not going through this particular piece of legislation in depth. There are so many bills that are pushed overnight. And so I want to encourage our constituents to go to the Los Alamos County and website and take a look at what is happening in there. One of the updates on Friday, as we left the CCI meeting, we had a meeting with the CWA, Colorado Welfare, Child Welfare Allocation Formula. And I'm so glad to see Mr. Eric Gunn here in the audience because as we go through the process of all the programs that we have within our child welfare, we are running into a lot of challenges and difficulties when it comes to the funding of programs. The state of Colorado is deficient by, could be at least $700 million. It could be greater than $1 billion. So a lot of the programs that we have through the child welfare programs, the allocations that we're going to be working on, we spent 3 hours, slightly over 3 hours on Friday going over the possibility of coming up with a new funding mechanism. And I was very opinionated when it came to how is the formula going to work for small counties. And so one of the things that we're going to be looking at is, and I want to extend that sincere thanks to Mr. Ergon because he's working directly on whole harmless issues. For some of the smaller counties. And the attempt for the CWAC working group is to look at all the counties and hurt any county and all counties as little as possible. So in essence, if there's going to be a deficiency of funding for these programs, is that the pain is going to be shared equally. The JBC, the Joint Budget Committee, initially made an allocation for 2024 and 2025. We feel that in 2026, the allocation will continue to decrease, but that I don't want to share any figures because as we speak right now, the projections from the JBC will continue to be a shortfall on this side. And I tell you, the CWAC board and the WAC board and all the groups that are working on the child programs are working really hard to come up with the funding mechanism. In April, we're going to be taking a position. We're going to take a vote on the funding model and allocation for the next few years. And with that, I'm hoping that the parameters and the weighted assess challenges for each county are going to be, of course, vetted in as many ways as we can. One of the recommendations that I made to the group is to give us three scenarios. One with what would happen if the legislature increases funding, what would happen if the funding would stay flat, and then another one, what would happen if the legislature would decrease funding. I'd like to see those three scenarios passed on to the executive directors. But I can tell you, it was a very, very animated, very engaging meeting. A lot of questions that came from those of us that are on the board. And we have some new commissioners that have joined the CWAC as well. And I am beginning to develop a very good understanding of what is happening at the state level. So that's that perspective we'll continue to work on, and hoping that our counties, specifically the small counties that provide so many services for our communities, are not going to be impacted. So on that, that is going to be the report. Keep your eye on what is happening at the legislature. Important bills coming up. One of the bills that this county has been monitoring is Senate Bill 25-003. Go out and research it, and let's see where I was informed this morning by Commissioner Tony Haas that the bill came out of the House. So now it'll go back to the Senate and see where it happens. This bill impacts our sheriff's offices, expenditures, the Senate bill on semi-automatic rapid fire weapons. And so there was a lot of amendments that are being considered on that piece of legislation. But nonetheless, let's keep an eye on that. Thank you, commissioners. Now we're going to go to, this is the week of spring break. So I don't know that we're going to have many of our elected officials. I want to call now on anyone from the assessor's office. Anyone from the clerk and recorder's office? Treasurer's office? Sheriff's office? Thank you, sir. Good morning. District Attorney's office? And the coroner? Thank you. So now we are going to be welcoming, we have a presentation from Chelsea Means, Systems Coordinator, Los Animas and Warfona Counties, Keep Trinidad Safe Coalition for the Unhoused. Good morning. You can come up to the, yes, that would be great. All right.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning.
Well, from the brief little bit that I've heard, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for the bill that you've introduced, and then thank you for your interest in child welfare. Just to tell you guys a little bit about myself before we dive into a few things. My name is Chelsea Meese. I am the systems coordinator for both Los Animas and Huerfano counties. I have worked in unhoused initiatives for the last 15 years of my career, everything from temporary shelter, like at 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., and direct care up to program intervention, development, and contracting with different organizations throughout Colorado. I have worked with 24 of the 54 rural counties specifically and directly, many more in other capacities. But that's actually what brought me down to this region. In 2023, I was doing outreach for the Center for Policy Research in the Colorado Rural Collaborative for Runaway and Homeless Youth. I ended up at the laundromat here in Trinidad, ended up getting connected into the Keep Trinidad Safe Network through Marcy Key. And I actually got to attend the first Unhoused Coalition meeting where I met your director. So, I've kind of been a part of the conversation around unhoused homelessness in that region since 2023. However, I just began this position in November and I just moved to the region in January. I'm actually housed up in Walsenburg. With that, first thing that I wanted to do to get a grasp on things is we completed what is called a point in time count. Technically, this is federally mandated through HUD that this is to be completed each year, but traditionally in this region, it has only been counted for those who are in transitional housing through ADA or a couple like here and there. We did a very in-depth count this year, and so I'm going to pass around the results for that. When it comes to you'll see on this sheet, you have Los Animas and Huerfano County results on there. Unofficial results because they are not published completely yet. However, I collected all the data from our 11 volunteers within the county and then put all of the data in myself to make sure that there wasn't duplication. So I do feel as if our numbers are pretty accurate on this. So for Los Animas County, we ended up getting 121 unhoused adults counted. We ended up adding 56 individuals to what is called our by name list. So right now, homelessness in this region is very generalized. It's a they did this, they did that kind of thing. And what we want to do is start a by name list, which has begun. And we're going to individually hear from these people or families or households as far as these demographics that I'm going to discuss, and then we're going to start to work with them. The ultimate goal is to reach what is called functional zero. That means that there are less individuals entering into homelessness here than there are exiting out of homelessness here. Our ideal number would be around 3 to 5 for a region like this. So on that by name list, we have 56 individuals. The reason that there is a discrepancy between those two numbers is because some of those individuals cannot make it to the by name list right now because they are in transitional housing through ADA. So that is a violation of confidentiality on that. Some of them are youth, and then some of them did not want to give their information at this point. Of those individuals, 17 youth were counted, and 10 of them made their way onto the by name. The ages currently on the streets of Los Angeles County ranges between 1 and 73 years old. There have been individuals out there for like just now starting for a week, up to 24 years out there. And for those who have been out on the streets of Los Angeles County for over a year, there are 37 individuals. So I counted 34, or we counted 34 men, 20 women, 2 non-binary and or did not answer. And then you can see the race ethnicity breakdown there with 23 white, 22 Hispanic Latino, 6 American Indian, Native or Indigenous, 3 mixed, 1 Black or African American, and then a straight non-answer. So I know when we talk about homelessness, one of the biggest things that we talk about is why not just go get a job? Go work, go make some money and get an apartment, go do what you need to do to have a shelter. So you actually have 9 people who are currently employed, 32 of them are seeking employment, and 11 of the 15 who are not seeking or currently employed are disabled or have a chronic health condition. So this also plays into the factor that Los Angeles County is tied with Huerfano County for number 1 unemployment rate throughout the entire state of Colorado. So I'm going to pass around a little map that's from 2024 that can kind of show the differences throughout the regions of where unemployment lies, but these are the only 2 counties that are over 6%. So,
and when you're speaking overall employment, that's all population, not just, okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So their wants, needs, and barriers also include, obviously, access to healthcare, access to food. Food insecurity is a very large issue in this region. I have not seen a region that depended so heavily on food care and share boxes in my history of working in Colorado. So food insecurity is very big down here. Childhood poverty rates are very high down here, and employment wages are also low for the employment jobs that are available. However, you do have 6 veterans that are out there that will be a priority of mine. With those individuals accessing services, I know with our current climate and potentially cutting funding may become a little bit more difficult. However, veterans are a priority area of the grant that I am funded through and a personal priority of mine. However, you also have 19 individuals who are seeking recovery. So,
on the veterans population, have you connected with our veteran service officer here in Los Angeles County?
Not in Los Angeles County yet, since I've only been here for about 2 months. So I've been trying to bounce back and forth.
I'm going to give you his name at the end of the presentation.
Please.
And he's right here on the second floor.
Okay.
And he works with the veteran population of Los Angeles County 100% as far as providing him, helping him with housing, transportation, medical needs, and so on. So
yes,
let's go ahead and connect you with our VSO.
I need that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. And then so the 19 are seeking recovery. I am housed and employed under Keep Trinidad Safe, who has a wonderful peer support program available. However, there is definitely a need for higher level of care within this region for treatment and mental health services. Meaning clinicians and substance abuse treatments counselors.
So let me, we're going to make this a conversation.
I would love that.
It's important. The 19 that are seeking recovery also through, we have Keep Trinidad Safe, but we also have, I'm on the board of the opioid settlement funds.
And yes.
Marcy and I work very close on with Keep Trinidad Safe. I'm on that board as well.
Yes.
One of the things that we do is award RFPs mm-hmm. to entities and companies to provide services. for anyone going through the opioid addiction withdrawal treatment remediation education. And we have awarded grants too, and I'll share that information once again with you, to various of the local providers for behavioral health. But Marcy has been one of our key contacts, because when you're looking at sick and recovery, I think the point of contact, of course, is going to be her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with that. We did have a question at Trinidad City Council about the opioid funds and how they're being dispensed and things like that. I obviously don't have the information for that, but I would like to have that kind of conversation.
Absolutely. We have a website. It's Southeast Colorado Region 19.
And you are vice chair.
I actually stepped down as the vice chair, and I'm a regular board member now, so we can be a little more interactive with the program. But I'll give you it's SECOR, SECOR, Region 19, Southeast Colorado, Region 19. And that's where you will find all the information, all the programs that we have awarded, who's providing what services, and through our community contacts, whether it's through the sheriff's office, the police department. I'll give you some cards as well that we have. They can actually call a number, reach out, and begin to get connected with those services.
Yes, this is amazing. Thank you. Awesome. Yes, because I think I also wanted to just highlight a couple key statistics about the county specifically when it comes to what relates into homelessness here. Outside of being number one for unemployment, it is the highest rate of opioid and meth overdose fatalities. It's number two for benzodiazepine and opioid prescriptions being dispensed, and the highest drug overdose overall, so any drug combination. And then number three for the highest overdose emergency room visits. So that hospital is overloaded over there. And it's not just there. Huerfano County got number one for that ranking. So those things tie into that. It's also a factor of not only like helping people get recovery treatment, supportive services, but our next best steps are going to be a potential encampment here, which I know through the grapevine, some individuals may have heard about, some haven't. There is no formal plan or proposal at this moment. We are still looking into different options, and I would love to collaborate with you guys just as much as we are collaborating with Trinidad City Council to try to figure this out. Once we have the encampment, we're going to stop wasting more resources in law enforcement, in hospital, and with those limited resources that we do have here, like Keep Trinidad Safe, by having an easier access location for us to directly go to help these individuals.
Interject right there.
Yeah.
Having toured the one in Alamosa and talked extensively with Commissioner Lasky from Alamosa, it didn't decrease their need for services out there, especially with EMS and the local police. It actually escalated in that encampment. And it went from 80 to 10. And they had a good Samaritan that went out there and actually built 10 homes for them.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those burned down.
Mm-hmm.
And so fire was readily happening pretty regularly.
We won't be having the huts.
And the crime that happened there just escalated off the charts. So with drug dealers and gang members that moved in and took over that little tent city. How are you going to respond to that if you're telling us now that this will decrease services when Alamosa County says it increased their ability to have to serve that area?
Yeah, so we took a trip in January on the 28th to Alamosa with four Trinidad City Council members, the PD here, and a couple other individuals. And one of the things that was spoken about is how there was high crime rates there originally. However, that was in their first phase of law enforcement. They got a new director of, or chief of police, who came in and then did a new list of rules, a new lineup of enforcement. And since they started that enforcement, it did decrease after that point. So one of the main things that is important to me, I've been in this world for long enough to know that it's not just about caring and empathy and those kinds of things. We also have to enforce against bad behaviors. If people are setting fires, if people are going after people and assaulting individuals, there should be enforcement for that. People do need charges for that. But I do not agree with charges of crimes of poverty, in which having a camping ordinance before an encampment, or before, or charging people for loitering without giving them another place to go. So there will be alternative steps after this. I'm looking into either transitional or permanent. I'm more so for here, permanent supportive housing models that would be implemented after which, but we need to clean up this area. We need to get people off the river into a safer location, into a place where we have access to going to them, where they can make a choice whether they want to participate or whether they want to intentionally break ordinances and such, and at least give them that choice. Then we can take the next step to permanent supportive housing, having those individuals with supportive services on site, long-term housing options. But this is going to be, in my opinion, for this large of a number of people, it's going to be the first step to where your business owners aren't suffering, to where your community can have their park back. All of those things play a factor into how this.
What did you say that the county residents we saw briefly? I watched the meeting that they had at city council.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be located is really close to our fairgrounds. And what about those people that are there going to have to be their neighbors? And you're looking at one of them right over here in the red vest.
Yeah.
And our fairgrounds is right there too. And what I found out from Commissioner Lasky from Alamosa was they can no longer have any youth events. Many of their, and we're in the process of building up our fairgrounds right now with the grants. We're going to do all this work, and that they had to cut back on the amount of programs that they had there. And that's what's going to help us fund this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our county extension agent, and one of her offices is out there. That's going to be her dealing with that now. And we already have problems out in that area. That's, you need to be able to talk to those neighbors and have them tell you too, not just what happened if you're in the city, but you're going to be adversely affecting those people out there by the fairgrounds, including Los Animas County, because we want to develop that and have more functions at the fairgrounds, and we won't be able to do that. It sounds like if it's comparable to what happened in Alamosa.
Yeah, and I think this is important why we're having this conversation, and why I started all of this with saying there is no formal proposal. We are having a meeting on the 20th in 2 days to discuss potential locations. And so if there are other suggestions that you guys have, to where the biggest thing is having it accessible for people to access resources while also not disrupting the neighbors who are there. So we have to find some sort of balance, but right now it's disrupting everybody who enters this county.
So let me on that. And I'm looking at it from the humanistic perspective.
Yeah.
I'm going to put these shoes on. By segregating this population, I don't see that as a solution. Because now, in a sense, you're saying, well, that's your space. And I find it almost they, right? You mentioned, you know, it's they or it's them. And I don't like that. Second, for the purposes of them procuring daily just meals, are those going to be provided for them, you know? And so I think the challenge is these are very sensitive issues, mm-hmm. yet we know they're right here. My thing to you is also to have in consideration, just because there are the population of that part of the county is less than perhaps the downtown population, if you will. I'm just going to compare the two. Well, we're all humans, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things is we're taking a challenge from here to there. And what happens when there gets out of hand, as Commissioner Haas is talking about, you know, and you're talking about sanitation. I'm not sure. Again, this is the first conversation that I'm connected to. Mm-hmm. Sanitation, I would imagine you're going to have plumbing and outdoor facilities so they can shower, so they can, if we're going to do something, if when you say we, if the community is willing to do that, I think there has to be enough sense that access to decent facility, there's going to be no services provided, but just you camp right there and your tent is right here. I'm not certain what the plan is, so I probably will be attending the 20th because at the end of the day, I just don't see that we're putting it on somebody else's backyard.
Right. And I think it's not about necessarily segregating people. If I can be completely honest, of the options that I've heard of, I don't want to be that far out. I think it's more important to have access to groceries, to have access to medical, to have access to those things. But we also have to consider what land is available, those partnership who owns the land. And so it is important to have these conversations because, like I said, I just moved here. I don't know these things. But also, yes, some of those things will be available. There will be porta-johns. We will have a set of rules. It will basically be set up as you come in, like a campsite that's like dispersed in a sense. So you come in, it will have a number to where each individual will also then get an address to where they can apply for jobs. They can have bills sent to that location, and we'll figure that out through Keep Trinidad Safe ourselves. But it will have these things to where individuals can be successful. The goal is not to keep individuals there. One of our tactics will be if somebody wants to go home and maybe they're from Texas and they just need a bus ticket to Texas, I want to be able to offer them a bus ticket back to Texas. That will be our first option. Are you from here? Or are you not from here? Where do you want to be? 40 to 60% of any unhoused population is from the area in which they were born and raised, though. So you do have people who aren't from other places who grew up here and went to your schools. And so with them, we want to make sure that they have access to the adequate resources. So I think right now we're jumping ahead without actually having a location because we can plan. It's going to be in somebody's backyard regardless. Not everybody is going to be happy about this. Not everybody cares about people either. So it's important.
I do care. I want you to know that you're speaking.
I'm not saying you
that's
guys.
That's why we made the effort to go to
And I think you'd be commissioners if you didn't care.
Mr. Dornkamp has something to add too, I believe. Don't we own some property right there by the Commercial Street Bridge?
Yeah, and I guess my first question was you talked about a meeting that is going to be on the 20th.
Yeah, so it was just going to be a meeting with myself, Jennifer Lay, our public defender, Clay Mason, somebody else is on that list. But anybody who has options, we are open to that.
And when and where?
So it's on the 20th, and I think it's at the PD. I can double check with that.
Mr. Dornkamp might be available.
Yeah.
And I do believe that by taking them out there, you're actually taking them further from services.
Mm-hmm.
And in Alamosa, they're within walking distance of the soup kitchen where they developed this tent city. But out there, are you going to provide them with transportation? Because it's a long ways into town to have to go to the doctor to go see Mr. Aragon over in this building. Like I said, we got that piece of property right there by Commercial Street Bridge that we...
I think that would be perhaps a topic of the 20th discussion, if that is indeed when you folks are going to be looking at.
Space to create.
What time?
10.
10?
10.
Okay. I guess a couple items from my end. I live out, and the city has property just north of the fairgrounds there. I have a business there, just right across in the fairgrounds. I've lived there for 25, 30 years. Over the last 10 years, I've seen a lot of foot traffic, and it's always after dark. I mean, I'm not sure where they're all coming from. Matter of fact, one day I saw somebody hauling a radiator, carrying the radiator. And I know Lori with her CSU Extension office, they have classes out there with kids. Mm-hmm. And I know she had at one time had some concerns being out there. Also keep in mind, any time you're going to propose anything like a camping area outside the city limits,
mm-hmm.
even though it belongs to the city of Trinidad, you have to go through our planning and land use office. You have to go through an application, let the planning commission hear it, then it comes before commissioners.
Right.
So there's a process you have to go through. Any kind of any kind of encampment or campground, it has to go get approved by the county.
Yeah.
On there, so.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to make you guys clear that we don't have a proposal. We don't have a set location. And so once we do have that, and that's why I wanted to begin these conversations after I had some results and some data for you guys, to begin these conversations to where we could work towards that. So that will be one part of our conversation on Thursday. Yes, on Thursday about this. So.
Well, we want to thank you for bringing this to our attention. Thank you for being here today. I want to say thank you for what you're doing, but I also look at this whole thing from, as you have heard from the three of us,
mm-hmm.
the humanistic thing, if we take an individual or a group of individuals so far away from the services that they need on a daily basis, are we serving them? Mm-hmm. And then if you said they're going to have port-a-johns, can you imagine in the middle of August, 120 people in there, we are creating, and when I say we, because I'm part of this community, yeah. unsanitary conditions that could lead to other challenges.
Yeah.
I rather, in a sense, if this is to happen, I mean, the planification has to be where the sanitary conditions are such that we're not going to be exposing anyone to any health challenges. I mean, you know, just do the math. I was just kind of playing with some numbers. 120 individuals, August through or July through September. Temperatures tend to reach 100 degrees. And, you know, with that kind of a traffic and activity, you're looking at the usage of those things minimum 300 times a day, right? We're looking at that in whatever perspective. The challenge for a community is now not only that, but food.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my heart and my sincere appreciation goes to you and your group.
And all of that comes with some cost.
Right.
And the county is going to be struggling with unfunded mandates that are coming down from the state at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at you thinking, you'd have to go to the vote of the people probably to get a tax increase or a mill levy increase, something, because from what I understand, this has really ramped up the cost for Alamosa County. And we're looking at possibly another FTE or two with our sheriff's department, because that won't be located in the city. It'll be located in the county, and all these things have to be taken into consideration. That's why I've done my homework. I wanted to see,
yeah.
you know, because we don't lack empathy. I mean, we're empathetic to what is going on out there, but how do you handle that?
Can I add to those things?
Sure.
Yeah. So wait, okay. To your point about the services, what did you just say?
Yeah.
You made me lose it.
Well, no, it's the hygiene perspective.
Oh, the hygiene perspective. We would welcome a building. We would love a building with some land, if that is a possibility. Also, we are not just closed off. It's just some open land. So if we also have the option of a building that maybe has plumbing already, that would also be a very viable option for us. And then to your point also, thank goodness I'm a grant writer. So I don't believe that money is a problem when it comes to this. I have worked in this field so long and I have seen money pour down. My goal this year is to hit $1 million in the grants that I've written or have helped write. The most recent large one that I wrote was $341,000 for Chaffee County. So I know that we can do this, but I can't do this alone. And so one thing that I do want to invite you guys to before I wrap up here is I'm hosting an event on April 4th at Space to Create. It is called A Home for Everyone. It is from 1 o'clock to 4 p.m. That is a Saturday. And if you want to come help clean up the river before then, that would be much appreciated. We meet at 10. But at 1 o'clock, we are going to do a workshop style meeting to where those who want to have their voice heard in this can have their voices heard in this, to where we can make a solution that is community-based, community-focused, as well as trauma-informed for those that we are serving. And so if you would like to come to that, that would be amazing. We will host a networking happy hour afterwards at the Hive, because I truly believe in supporting small businesses. So that is our next best step to also being able to be involved in this process also. So that goes to all you guys out there as well. You all are all invited.
Well, thank you. Thank you once again. And I know that you're always welcome back with this Board of County Commissioners.
Thank you.
We appreciate your information and certainly the communication. Very, very important. So if there's any events, you have our contact information. You can send information and any activity that you may want to invite us to, please just send an email to our county administrator, and certainly we want to thank you for being here today.
Yes, will do. I think I've already had your email. Mm-hmm. Yes, I already did. They called you by your last. So awesome. Thank you guys. Have a wonderful day.
You. Likewise. Thank you. Next, we have another presentation from Lori Arnold, DSU Extension Office.
Basically, when I was here last time, I had you guys, I talked about the memorandum of understanding, and Felix had signed it, but I had the appendix figures wrong. And so I have a new one for you guys to look at. I don't know, did you share it with me? In the one that I previously presented, I had the figures wrong for the county's percentages. And instead of, I had 19% for me and 22% for Kim, and it should be 16% for both of us. So the new one actually saves the county money. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And on the new one, if you notice the position title, it lists director and county specialist. Kim's last day is March 31st. And I talked to Bruce, was here, my boss, yesterday, and we are hoping to fill her position. We're just uncertain how long the process will take. So with that being said, what I was going to ask you is, the money that we pay under contractual services for Kim's salary, could I hire a part-time person to help with office stuff in the absence before if we get to hire a new person? Does that make sense?
And I think there was an email from Mr. Dorian Camp.
Right. I just needed approval if I can use that money.
So while we cannot make a decision right here, right now, let us go ahead and take that as information.
Okay.
And we'll definitely send something back to you, Lori.
Okay. That sounds good. And then if you feel like you can sign that MOU, if you could get that.
I'm looking at my counsel, and I think she read that, and it is okay. We'll sign that.
Okay. Yeah. If I can get that sent, then I can get it sent to CSU, and it means the process of filling Kim's vacancy happens faster.
You'll get that signature today.
Okay. Thank you. Do you guys have any other questions?
That was it?
Yeah. It's easy. It's easy. Also, I want to tell you, we're having that reception for Kim on March 31st up here from 10 to noon, if you guys are available and want to come. Okay.
Very good.
So, well, mine's easy. Lori.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Second. All right. Public comment. Anyone signed up for public comment? Thank you, Mr. Dorian Camp. Anyone online that would wish to address this Board of County Commissioners at this time? You have 3 minutes. simply unmute yourself and or raise your hand, and you'll have 3 minutes to address the Board of County Commissioners. Hearing that, I'm going to now move to section 8, unfinished business. Commissioners, we ladies overtake for being here, sir. Really appreciate it. Unfinished business, this item was laid on the table. I am going to, first of all, entertain a motion to remove from the table so we can address this item.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, so it is 8A, consideration of IHC, International Harvester Company, 1964 title to Mr. Brian Brown. I think that's what we were missing, the name of the individual to whom the title is gonna be approved. We have had a conversation on it. Any other discussion, commissioners? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve the International Harvester Company 1964 title to Mr. Brown.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. New business, consideration of reallocating extension office contractual services, reallocated and then allocation. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you for your consideration is, as extension agent Roy Arnold had just mentioned, the allowance of her department to move some allocated monies around so she can hire a part-time person in the interim until they can hire a full-time person, apparently, if that's the direction that, they're looking at going.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any questions?
And at the time of the new hire, then this individual would no longer be needed.
I would have to run that past Lori, but that was what my understanding was. She'd use this person until the new hire came on.
And also, I would imagine that the finance director is going to be part of the interviewing committee.
I think it's contractual.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not too sure how
okay.
to handle that.
Very good.
Yeah, so it's not going to be an employee.
Very good.
Because I think from Kim or contractual.
Oh, no, what I meant for the permit.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would encourage you to reach out. And then I would think that even the contractual individual may be interested in the position. So we'll see what happens. But I think that's the understanding the commissioner has.
And it, so that it'll have to go out then, and you'll have to advertise this position or no?
Commissioner, I'm not sure what the state's requirements are. They are state employees. So I think the state rules and regulations supersede hours as far as sorry, practices.
Is that's going to be a CSU probably interview who they're going to bring in,
correct.
Someone that's probably has the same education as Kim.
Sure.
I think she's just looking for somebody that's a part-timer that's just going to help probably with filing, typing, something like that.
Until the new hire is
there. I think that's contractual. Yep. She's asking for right.
So will that be published? I mean, will there be?
I think that's what she's going to do.
Okay.
I do know they stay super busy in there.
Yeah.
With school programs, and it keeps both of them popping. So
she did tell me she was going to advertise just for that. It's just a part-time contractual until CSU can bring somebody new in.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you. Any additional discussion? If not, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the reallocating extension office contractual services allocation.
I second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. 9B, consideration of updated Board of Governors State University System, Colorado State University Memorandum of Understanding. Back to you, sir.
Commissioners, as Extension Agent Roy Arnold mentioned, this is a correction to the MOU that's been in front of the board for their consideration.
Thank you, sir. Any discussion? Hearing that, I will entertain a motion.
I move to amend updated Board Governor State University System, Colorado State University, Memorandum of Understanding.
Second that motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Cerro?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. 9C, consideration of MILI EPACT 179D allocation tax initiative. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, as part of our contract with Millig, the consultant who designed build consultants who's overseen our HVAC installation, they were wanting to take advantage of a tax break, for lack of a better way to describe it, 179D. And I believe everything that would be pertinent to that tax exemption is part of your packet, including the clause where we said that we would allow that to happen.
So this is part of the initial contract that we signed as per section 15.9 as stated on this letter. Thank you, sir. The only counsel, is there any, have you had an opportunity to do this proposal?
I've reviewed, no legal concerns.
Thank you, ma'am. I really appreciate that. Commissioners, any discussion for Mr. Dronkamp? Hearing that, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the Millig Impact 179B allocation tax loss.
A second.
Commissioner Searle?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, sir. 9D, consideration of Energy Impact Assistance Funds grant application submission programs improvements. Back to you, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, before you, for your consideration, is our submittal to Energy Impact Assistance Fund for some grant monies to make some improvements out at the fairgrounds. Those improvements would include a second pavilion, covered pavilion there next to the park, the southeast corner of the park, upgrading the electrical and livestock pavilion, waterline installation, and I am missing one, and the grandstand upgrade, the catering kitchen to be installed in the rental hall, called the rental hall. These are all requests by citizens through the years with our fairgrounds coordinator, Brandy Bowman, and also part of the study that UC Denver did as part of the planning that has taken place for improvements out there at the fairgrounds.
Thank you, Mr. Dornkamp. And the matching funds is $511,200. You have those line items?
No, this will be a project that most likely part of it's this year, but we'll present, the deadline is April 1. We won't do a presentation probably till, depending on what the state does with the energy impact funds, the presentation at the earliest, my suspicion is going to be the end of June. Just typically the other presentations just before the next cycle opens up, the next grant cycle, and historically has been between August and September 1. So we do a presentation in July, and
so it'll be budgeted in 2026.
Most likely. We have some of the budget for improvements this year, but I don't know that we're going to get to that point.
Thank you, Mr. Dornkamp. Any questions, commissioners? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve the EIAF grant application submission for fairgrounds improvements.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Searle?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you, sir. 90, consideration of appointment to E911 Authority Board of Directors. Back to you, sir.
Commissioners, the county is given, for lack of a better way to describe it, so many positions on the E911 board. And one of those positions that was filled by Buddy Carroll has expired. And he has expressed an interest, I believe, if I'm understanding administrative sense of all of the service information, he's expressed an interest in filling that vacancy again.
Thank you, sir. And by the way, thank you, Mr. Lucero, for I saw the letters that you sent to every one of them up there. So really appreciate that. Any questions on that item? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to reappoint Mr. Buddy Carroll.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Searle?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. 9F, consideration of diesel fuel bid. Back to you, Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioners, before you, for your consideration, is diesel fuel bid to have fuel delivered, diesel fuel delivered to our fuel farm out at the fairgrounds with the following results. About 7,300 gallons of diesel with the following results. Acorn Petroleum, $2.44 per gallon, which is the enterprise, $17,568. Lahana Valley Oil, $2.46 per gallon, which is the enterprise, $17,712. Royal Fuel Services, $2.5547 per gallon, which is the enterprise, $18,393.84. Wallace Oil, no bid. It asks the board to approve Acorn Petroleum's bid of $2.44 per gallon, which is the enterprise, $17,568.
Thank you, sir. I could ask you to repeat that, but I'm just, commissioners, any discussion on that? Hearing that, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve the diesel fuel bid of 7,200 gallon at $2.44 to Acorn Petroleum.
I second.
Mr. Serra?
Yes.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes, thank you, sir. Consideration of removing a segment of County Road 32.4 from Pasadena County, HTF street inventory for the city of Trinidad Love Store annexation. Mr. Thornycap.
Which is part of the city's annexation process. They are looking at also annexing in a segment of County Road 32.4. Be on the east side of the interstate, just north of exit 18, just north of the city's southern industrial park area, stretched between about the off ramp at exit 18 to just to the other side of the railroad tracks, I believe is where that's at. And no, just to the west side of the railroad tracks. And my recommendation would be for the board to, yes, let's go ahead and allow that annexation to happen. My suspicion is once that store opens up and all that heavy truck traffic, et cetera, gets on that segment of road, is going to take quite a bit of effort to keep that road in drivable condition. And as an offshoot on the Maverick store that's on the other side of the interstate, the county, that segment of road 71.1, we're requiring it to concrete that to change from the current surface of asphalt to concrete. So I would rather just allow this transitions to happen and not have to deal with
them. So the city has reached out to request this?
I believe the city, by what I'm reading in the email from the CDOT folks up in Denver, is that the city's reached out to them about the city going ahead and taking it as part of their highway user inventory, as part of the road inventory.
So am I reading this properly? That's just slightly over 200 feet?
I believe so.
Okay. And do you need what kind of documentation from this board as far as approving this?
Commissioner, that I can't answer. I think once an annexation takes place, the city, whoever's doing the annexation, basically takes over all that property. The question again is whether or not we want to drop that segment of County Road.
Yeah.
But if there's perhaps council can help here, if there's a process by which we do this, and I don't know if it, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, so that's my thing. I think we can possibly, what I like to do is from the purposes is to gather all the information necessary. I think we're okay with that. So what you're telling us then, east of the railroad tracks, going east remains County Road, but it's only from the off ramp to west of the railroad tracks, that section that's gonna be annexed. Okay.
And I'll reach out to the city and CDOT and the city and see what the process is for that transfer to take place.
I can tell you on
transfer.
Yeah. Yes. And that's what my question is. On a transfer, when we vacate a county road or something, it has to go through. There has to be a resolution and has to be recorded. Now this is just being transferred. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think council, and you can kind of give me a thumbs up. I think we probably unless you need, unless they need this, keep doing that, some gathering of information that the next meeting will have this right back onto the agenda. I think for now, let's go ahead, and my recommendation would be to table this item. Commissioners? Okay. So would that work? Thank you, sir. I will entertain a motion to table item 9G.
I will move to table item 9G, consideration of removing a segment of County Road 32.4 from Los Alamos County's HUTF street inventory for the City of Trinidad's Love Store annexation.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Serra?
Yes.
Commissioner Lewis?
Yes. Thank you. Section 10, financial matters, consideration of payroll and bills for the first half of March 2025. Well, good morning, Finance Director.
Good morning. Good morning. Payroll as of March 15th, 2025 is $228,144.07. Do you have any questions on payroll?
No, ma'am. Commissioners? No. No questions.
Invoices paid on March 5th, 2025, as you can see, the first part, there was a printer error. So there was many voids, as you can see that. Okay. And then in there, let's see. JBBS, we've paid $1,500 to the County Sheriffs of Colorado. They're actually doing all the invoicing for the JBBS for the new company called Turnkey. And then let's see. Inland truck parts, there were some repairs for $44,652. The Gordon Bridge.
You mean 15,000? I think you mentioned.
I'm at 1,500. I'm so sorry about that. 1,500 for JBBS. That's, they charge us 1,500 for them to do the,
okay, all right,
the grant request. They're the one handling the grant part of the JBBS. And then here's Turnkey for the grant where they get $15,809.94. And then Tyler Technology, that's the assessor. Their annual contract of $64,343.47. And, you know, that might increase the more that they have to actually change the program to what's happening with the state, just mm-hmm. to tell you that. And that's $64,000 high for their annual agreement.
Yeah.
So so invoices for March 3rd, 2025 is $227,809.71.
Yeah, what is LN Curtis and Sons?
Let me find it.
2420.
I'm going to look here on
page 217, about 10 items up. What is it? Let's see. Right below.
Let's see, Alan Curtis. So uniform and vests, that's what it is. So those are uniforms that they purchase. Okay. Yeah. I think a lot of times what they do is they get a grant. I think we get Samson funds for any kind of vest. So that's federal money. That might kind of offset some of this cost, not all of it, because maybe they might give us like $200 for federal funding for a vest for our sheriff's department.
Okay,
that's what that is.
Salt Lake Wholesale Sports.
Is that Salt Lake?
$3,700.
Let's see. Let me see.
That's ammo.
Salt Lake Wholesale. Let's see what that says. Oh, ammo. They bought ammo from there. So they bought ammunition for $3,000. Mm-hmm.
My highlights went away somehow. I didn't save this document yesterday. Any other questions for Finance Director Hoover? Thank you once again for the report.
You're welcome.
Commissioners, I will entertain a motion.
Move to approve payroll and bills for the first half of March 2025.
Second it.
Commissioner Serra?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Come to section 11, executive session. The board will meet under CRS 2464024E, determining position relative to matters that may be subject to negotiations, developing strategy for negotiations, and instructing negotiators. The item that we're going to be talking is item A, doors. At this time, I'm going to entertain a motion to suspend this Board of County Commissioners and enter into executive session with a small recess between the two.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Sir?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Let's 5-10 minutes. Thank you, commissioners. Thank you for your patience on this. At this time, I'm going to entertain a motion to resume the regular, well, no, first we're going to exit executive session and then resume the regular Board of County Commissioners. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Sill?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, sir. And looking at section 12 of this meeting, having no other items on this particular agenda, I will entertain a motion to adjourn this regular Board of County Commissioners meeting on March
18, 2025. So
moved. Second.
Commissioner Sir?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you all. We'll see you at 1:00.